Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here again with me today. Oh, we have a wonderful show in store for you with a great guest in studio, which means, of course, all you people on the Facebook live stream, you don't have to look at me all through the show. You'll have someone else to look at. So we will bring her on shortly. And before I get started, a quick announcement, and I'm going to make the announcement again at the end. I have reformulated my Law of Attraction group, and we are having, it is now called, the Conscious Business Collective. And we're really kind of going to be talking around the same concepts, but we're going to be focusing it mostly on business and career and the sort of that fundamental stuff of, you know, what do we need to do to really take care of ourselves. The kickoff meeting for it is September 22nd at 6:30 p.m. You can get all the details at the meetup group. So you just go to meetup.com and you search for Conscious Business Collective and you'll find out all about it. So I hope you will join us. So let's get started with our quotes from the universe and from Abraham. I know you've been anxiously awaiting them all week long. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. Folks are often so mesmerized by the gold medals, trophies, and daunting heights they aspire to, they tend to forget that their heroes and heroines, more often than not, started with far less than they now have. You are so poised for greatness, the universe. Ah, we love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Reminding us that, you know, sometimes when we see and hear of people who've achieved so much, we forget that, you know, they started off with not a whole lot sometimes and not that much more than we have, which means, you know what that means, we're able to achieve that greatness as well. Ooh, nice welcome to Camille and Lauren on our Facebook live stream. Of course, don't forget, if you want to catch the video on the Facebook live stream. Ooh, and GP, welcome. Just go to my personal timeline, which is Sam Leibowitz in New York City. And our quote now from Abraham. The premise that so many people come from is that good isn't natural. Good must be demanded or manipulated or orchestrated. And we say good is natural. It must be asked for and it must be expected. But good is the only stream that flows. Abraham. It's an interesting quote, and it goes to, you know, some of the teachings that Abraham has talked about in the past around how, you know, there's no such thing as darkness. There's only an absence of light. The same way, you know, Abraham says that, like, good is the natural state. Good is our flowing stream. Good is how we're meant to be until we actively resist us. And Abraham uses the analogy of a cork. And that if you take a cork and you hold it underwater, that's like us resisting the good. But if you let the cork go, what is it naturally going to do? It's going to float up and rise up to the surface. That's our natural state. That's our natural feeling of being in a great place. You know, when you look at children, unless there's something actively disturbing their experience, they're happy kids. They're running around. They're playing. They know nothing of resistance. They know nothing of what it is that we struggle with as adults on a daily basis. So good is our natural state. And we don't really need to manipulate it for it to happen. We just have to allow it. And this is one of the reasons why I'm such a big proponent of meditation, because meditation is one of those ways for us to just sit still and allow our natural state to come out. And yes, when you first start doing the practice, it may seem unnatural. It may seem disconcerting. Your mind may be going in a million and one different directions. But the more you practice meditation, because you never get it 100% right, but the more you keep to practice it, and the more you learn not to attach to your thoughts, and the more you learn just to allow whatever is present to be there, then all of a sudden that goodness starts to well up. And I'm sure all you people out there who meditate, you all know what I'm talking about. You know, when you're sitting and just being still and being with yourself, by the time you finish, you just feel good. Because that is the natural state. That is the way we are made. So, two wonderful quotes from the universe and from Abraham. I hope you've enjoyed them. We'll have, of course, next week, more quotes from them, along with another wonderful guest. But right now, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Susan Goldberg. Let me turn the camera around to her. I know she's a little bit shy, but, well, you know, there we go. Awesome. Aha. Ooh, and a Facebook live stream. I got a little comment here. Roberta, hi, Sam. Your show title intrigues me as I am often interviewed. Love to talk to you about talking with you on the air. Okay, Roberta, just shoot me an email from the website. Welcome. So, Susan Goldberg is an expert retained executive recruiter specializing in media, entertainment, digital marketing, and technology. She's been hiring and coaching young senior professionals and those who hire them since the 1990s through her company, Susan Goldberg Executive Search Consulting. She has a deep understanding of the values young senior professionals have and has co-authored a book, Leadership in Wonderland. Wait. For the live stream, this is the book. There we go. Leadership in Wonderland. And there's the author, co-author, Susan. And this book is designed to foster their leadership skills through their preferred way of learning by their own experience. And I am very pleased and very happy that Susan is in studio with us today. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Susan.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. So I'm always curious. Ooh, Michelle, Gigi, welcome to the Facebook live stream. Oop, just want to let me like it. So I'm curious, you know, becoming an executive recruiter. I mean, I don't think that's something that, like, when you were a little girl, I'm assuming playing with dolls and your girlfriends, that you said to your mom, Mommy, when I grow up, I want to place high-powered executives in, like, big corporations and startups.
No, I did not have my dolls talking to each other saying, okay, so what are your biggest strengths? And what are your biggest weaknesses? Right. And what kind of job are you looking for? Where are you going to be in 5 years from now? No, definitely not. In fact, I never knew that this whole industry existed.
Right.
Not even in my undergrad, mm-hmm. which was in French literature.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
or in grad, in business uh-huh. school, they never talk about this. Mm-hmm. They never talk about executive search. And what happened was I had a career about 9 years mm-hmm. in marketing.
Ah,
and
okay.
So I was marketing strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy in New York
mm-hmm.
was not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Two people in executive search found me and said, well, if you can market ideas and strategies and thoughts, mm-hmm. you can market people and opportunities. And what do you say? And I said, well, I like people. I want to help people. I'd like to help companies. Let's see if this works.
Oh.
And I loved it. And that was it.
Right. You know, that, and I love that because that's just kind of an example of saying yes to the universe. You know, so often things come to us and we have a tendency to dismiss them right off of hand, right? It's like, what? Executive search? No, I'm a marketing person. You know, that would have been very easy for you to say that. And I'm sure, you know, other people in your position have said that. But when you're just kind of open and you just say yes to kind of what comes your way, it's like amazing where your life can go, isn't it?
It is. It is. You just never know where you're going to end up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Cool. So that was how long ago, or do we not want to say how long ago that you started?
I can say this was back in
1991. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've been at this gig a long time, huh?
Yeah, I've been doing this for a while.
So I'm curious, like over the time, because there have been some big changes between the 90s and the 2000s, and now we're in the teens. What have you seen as like the biggest changes in sort of executive search that have happened, the big trends over the last 20 something odd years?
I would liken it, I guess, to the advertising industry.
Okay.
Okay. And maybe even the media industry. In that way back when, things were much more, much less organic.
Okay.
Okay. Much more structured, much more about methodology, scheduled ways of doing things.
Right, right.
And it was less about personal connection. It was less organic. It was very structured.
Right.
It was like the old version of a consulting firm.
Okay.
Okay, because executive search actually came out of consulting.
Okay.
And it actually came out of accounting.
Oh, really? Out
yes.
of accounting. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So really, really structured, just like you would have financial statements and putting together financial statements. It was very methodical.
Right.
And
kind of a fill in the blanks. You have to have these qualities and this many years of experience, and that's it.
Right.
Okay. And
it was,
now
it's much more really understanding your client, understanding the environment and the culture, and finding the best fit not only for the candidate and the client or the company, but also just overall climate, overall culture,
right.
And where the company wants to be and where is it going.
So it's much more personal, I guess, in a way,
yeah.
And it sounds also more like you have to be more attuned to the corporate culture and sort of just the trends that are going on much more so than in the past.
And it's much more fluid than it used to be because you have to be. It's not set in stone.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break first. And then when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, why you decided to kind of focus on young senior professionals, as you put it, and kind of talk about a little bit more of sort of the changes. And I love that idea of the more fluidity and kind of what does that really mean in today's environment? Because some people are pretty scared the way things are now, but it's also a tremendous opportunity for people, isn't it? Wonderful.
Most definitely.
So everybody, and thank you, Nemanja. Oh my God, my friend Nemanja from overseas is tuning in listening. Thank you. I miss you, brother. Everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi,
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. This hour, we're talking to Susan Goldberg, an expert in executive recruitment and young senior professionals. So we talked a little bit about how the industry has changed over the years since you started doing it. And you mentioned how now things are more fluid. Is that because of technology? Is that because of just the workplace changing? Is that because of corporate downsizing and just things are different than they were before?
It's everything.
Everything.
Change is constant, and so therefore you have to be able to flow with it and adapt.
Right.
And you have to have lots more skills than you used to have, and that is part of technology, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be competent in a lot more things.
Yeah.
So I would imagine then, I don't know if you have any statistics or not, but like I imagine then in the 90s when you placed somebody, they would be in that position for a longer period of time than when you place somebody now.
Well, I will say, okay. I'm the kind of person that never colors in between the lines. I've never been that way.
Okay.
And so that's why this particular environment, business-wise and with young leaders, really works for me. Because I was telling my candidates or the people that I would coach, if you're in a position, even back in the 90s, if you're in a position for more than 3 years, you are experiencing diminishing rate of returns. In other words, you are making yourself less marketable. Unless you are either at the same company, taking on more responsibilities, or moving into a different position, or moving to a different company, you're not learning.
Wow. That's so interesting. You say 3 years, because back before I became an entrepreneur in the early 90s, and I worked in the banking and financial services for a number of years, and usually I stayed in at a company or in a position for about 3 years, and then I would get bored. And then I would just move elsewhere. And so it was so funny that, like, you know, over the, I don't know how many years, let's say 10 years where I was working for other people. It's like about every 2 to 3 years I was making a change.
Sam, you just knew it intuitively. You just had that wandering soul that realized, I need to grow.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to grow if I stay in the same position.
Yeah, if it's not interesting, I'm not going to do a good job, and there's no point in me staying here.
Right. That's right. And that's what the young leaders of today have as well. They're thinking, if I'm not learning anything, if I'm not progressing towards my grand purpose of becoming a better person, of becoming a smarter person, of becoming a more useful person, then I can't stay here.
So does that make it more difficult to place them? Like, are companies more leery then about, you know, accepting executives because they kind of know, like, they're not going to stick around that long?
Well, that's a big question, okay, because
I only ask big questions.
Yes, okay, so let's take this one at a time. Since I specialize in young senior leadership, and they in particular understand that they are not going to stay for a long period of time if things aren't working well for them. If they're, again, if they're not learning, if they're not progressing, if they're not getting appreciated.
If they're not being recognized and grow.
Right. If they feel like they're not part of a community in the office or at work, they are going to want to move on. Now, what I work with my clients to do is we set up a people plan particularly because they have to understand that more than ever before, there's going to be a lot of revolving doors. So they have to make some kind of plan to be able to be more fluid, to know that they're going to be losing some people. And what are they going to do, meanwhile, to keep the best people that they have and make them stay or make them want to stay? Okay. And then what are they going to do to plan for the future to attract the kind of people that they want and, again, to have them stay longer? And it's not just, you know, a whole compensation plan anymore.
Right. Yeah, because I've heard there have been a lot of studies done that just shows that, you know, money isn't the driving force necessarily. No. And there was that experiment, the guy out in the gentleman, I forget the company, some kind of digital company out in the West Coast, made all the salaries $70,000 because there were studies done that show that, like, $70,000 in general, like, that's what you need to be happy. And more than that doesn't really add anything. Mm-hmm. So that it needs to be, there needs to be something to attract people much more than just dollar bills.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm curious, because you've been talking specifically about young sort of senior management. Is there a reason why you decided to specialize on the young side as opposed to just, you know, older, mid-range? I don't know.
Okay. When I first got into executive search, okay, I was a generalist working in 10 different industries at once.
Right.
And I could do that because of my marketing background. Because in marketing, I worked in so many different kinds of companies.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So with that, I was able to work with my clients and make great placements.
Right.
And I morphed or moved towards media, entertainment, and technology because my mentor was in that area.
Okay.
And with that was the growth of the internet and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so then my clients ended up being younger and wanting younger people. And staying in technology and entertainment, it tends to be a lot of young minds and things move very, very quickly.
Right.
And I was a generalist for a long period of time. And then I worked with a marketing strategist the end of last year because I began to think, you know, I'm feeling like my brand is really watered down. And what is the thread that really excites me? What is the thread that I can embrace and that I know a lot about? And she said, you work with young leadership. You know more about young leadership than anybody I know. And she said, and you even wrote a book on it. She said, don't you understand this is all coming together? It's leading you in that direction, and you should follow it. And so that's how my branding came around, and that's why I realized it found me before I understood that I was found.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Which kind of perfectly segues to my next question for you, which is about your focus on leadership. Like, what kind of, you know, brought you to the thing of, like, you know, writing a book on leadership and kind of really thinking about and focusing on leadership?
Getting back to when I talked about how I don't like to color in between the lines.
Right.
I realized the young leaders I was working with were just like me. I never liked being told what to do.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I don't like being boxed into a corner. I don't like being siloed.
Right.
And with my co-author, Rebecca Lacey, we said, you know, we both have literature backgrounds, but we both have MBAs. We need a business book that's for people like us. People who are either creative, who've never had a business book written for them that understands them. And I said, and for the young leaders that I work with, they don't want to be dictated as to, you know, what they should be doing, how they should be thinking, what's the 10-step process, why I'm a leader, why am I so great, and you should follow in my footsteps. They don't want methodology. They don't want being told what to do. They want to be able to find it themselves. They want to feel it. They want to integrate it in themselves. And this, the book that we wrote, Leadership in Wonderland, gives them a chance to truly understand who they are, why they make the decisions that they do, and what they should be considering when it comes to being a leader, whether it's on a sports team or whether it's in a team project in college or grad school or a team project at work or a young leader at work, particularly because young leaders at work aren't often given a lot of training.
Right.
And it's expected they're supposed to know everything.
So would you say that most of the young leaders you work with are millennials? Are they just pre-millennial or millennials?
They are millennials. Okay. I don't like to use that term, but yes.
Why don't you like to use the term? Again, it boxes people in, I guess.
Exactly. It boxes people in, and people don't want to identify as millennials.
Oh, okay. Because they feel there's some negative stigma around
yes,
the term?
Yes, most definitely.
I see. Well, and I love your creativity. So again, I'm going to show the book here on the Facebook live stream real quickly just to show you the cover, Leadership in Wonderland, with the picture of the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. So I'm just curious, how did you guys come up with this sort of analogy of using Alice in Wonderland as a way of talking about leadership?
Okay. First of all, the book is a book with a workbook.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so that is really how people learn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the questions, there's no black or white.
Mm-hmm.
It's gray. So it's however you answer it, that's how you understand it.
Right.
Not how I understand it, how Rebecca understands it, how Alice understands it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Alice made these choices in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Would you make the same ones? And if not, why?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about these characters? What about their actions? So that's what the book is all about. It's really discovering who you are and then learning how you can be better by having a better sense of how you make decisions and what your thought processes are.
I see.
Okay, so Alice in Wonderland was the muse.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote an article way back when the first Johnny Depp Alice in Wonderland came out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yes.
Yeah, so when that came out, I was writing for a New York newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And the editor said to me, well, you're a business correspondent. What about if you were to write on all the lessons you learned through business by reading Alice in Wonderland? So I wrote this article years ago. And then Rebecca, who I've never met, by the way, who lives an hour outside of St. Louis.
Oh, really?
We met through LinkedIn.
Okay.
And an employment attorney who introduced us. And we had been speaking to help each other through our businesses once a month.
Oh, cool.
And I said, I've always wanted to be an author. And she said, me too. And she said, well, what happens if we were to write a book together?
Mm.
And I said, well, if we wrote a book together, it would be a book for people like us.
Mm-hmm.
People who are creative but want to learn how to be better business people.
Right, right.
And she said, well, wouldn't it be great if we could base it on a character and a circumstance that everybody knows and everybody embraces and everybody enjoys and make it fun so that people want to read it and they want to learn.
Right.
So it's not work. And we thought, well, I wrote this article on Alice. Maybe we should write on Alice. And we thought Alice was right.
Yeah.
And that's how it started to come
about. Oh, cool. I love that idea. You know, I hear people talk, I mean, you probably hear this all the time since you work in the technology fields, is the gamification of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, let's make it fun. Let's make it a game. Let's make it enjoyable. Why does work have to be work, right?
That's right.
You know, especially if we enjoy what we do, it's not really work. It's our passion.
Yes. And particularly with young leaders and the younger generation, they don't separate work and fun and work and play.
Yeah.
For them, it's all integrated.
Right.
So this is perfect.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we come back. Let's dive into some of the concepts in the book and talk a little bit more about what Alice has to teach us about leadership. I'm so fascinated
so
by
much.
This. Great. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Ding Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking to Susan Goldberg, co-author of Leadership in Wonderland with Rebecca Lacey, who you've never met. I still can't get over that.
That's I've never met.
That's great. Have you at least video conference? Do you know what each other really looks like?
She actually has seen me via video conference. I have never seen her video conference.
Oh, no? Skype didn't work?
But I have seen photos. And I have a semblance of who she is and what she looks like.
I'm sure. You talk to someone that much, you get a good sense. A lot can be conveyed through the voice, as my audience knows very well.
Yes.
So let's talk about what Alice has to teach us about leadership.
Okay. So the premise is that Alice, when she was very young, started having fun with her friends. She had a tea party. And then she said, you know what? I kind of want to make this into a company. And so everybody's going to have a role. So she gave different people roles. And then it started getting serious. And she said, no, I want to play. This isn't for me. So I'm going to give this company to Mad Hatter to run. And then,
that's a dangerous decision.
Exactly. But Hatter's going to run it. And I'm going to still be a majority owner, but I'm out of here. And then she gets word from Cheshire Cat that things aren't going so well at Leaves of Wonderland, which is this tea company. And she thinks to herself, well, gee, I'm hearing rumors, and I don't know if they're true, but I'm hearing rumors there's problems at the company. And do I really want to find out what they are? But Cheshire Cat is telling me that Hatter may want to try to sell the company, and that means all my friends are going to be without jobs. I can't let that happen. But I don't have a business degree. I don't have an education in this. Can I do it? And so that's where it starts off.
I see.
And she has wonderful allies that help her through the process, because Alice is like all of us. She's very imperfect. And she first is a reluctant majority owner, saying, do I really want to do this? It's going to take so much work, and I have to change. I don't know if I want to change. I don't know if I'm going to do this. And she goes back and forth. You know, she progresses, and then she takes two steps back, and then she progresses, and then she takes two steps back. And she gets fearful, and then, but she gets angry, and that motivates her. And so there's a lot of lessons that she does teach. One, which is a common one, which is the imposter syndrome. I don't know if you've heard about that, but
no,
it's
the imposter syndrome.
Even people like Barbara Streisand feels this. It's that before they get on stage, or before they get in front of an audience, or before they make a presentation, or while they're doing their job, am I really equipped to do this? In my gut, I know I am, but the people around me, do they really perceive that I am entitled to do this? And they get that feeling of doubt.
A
lot of people go through this at some point in their career, no matter what it is.
That feeling of self-esteem wavering. Of that self-image kind of not quite up to the image that we think we need to portray to the outside world.
Because you think everyone expects you as an expert to be perfect for you as a leader to have all the answers. And so therefore, you don't have to ask questions because you know everything.
Right.
And it's not true.
Right.
Nobody ever knows everything.
Right.
And the key is asking the right questions and feeling that you can ask the right questions and it's okay.
Right. I mean, there's that old story of Henry Ford, how they actually took him to court saying that he wasn't smart enough to run his own company. And he said, you know, well, can I have a phone? They're like, why do you want a phone? He goes, because I have a dozen of the top experts. I can have them answer any question you want. I know who to call if I need an answer.
Exactly. And that's why it's great, because Alice has this team around her and she knows where to go to ask questions. Mm. But she also then understands that they're not the ones who are going to prop her up.
Right.
That has to come from within. And that has to develop. And through the book, through the journey, mm-hmm. it does.
I see. And so you have a bunch of different characters in the book, I imagine.
Yes.
So who are some of the other colorful characters we can expect to find on this journey?
Oh, there's a whole array.
Yeah.
Our new ones, which are not from the original Alice. And by the way, you don't have to read the original Alice in Wonderland to be able to understand, embrace, and have fun with our book.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
But everybody does know the White Rabbit and Alice and the Cheshire Cat and the Hatter.
All right.
Okay. So those people are all there, or those characters are all there. So we have Hatter, who's running the company.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Queen of Hearts, who's the head of the board, who is very demanding. And, of course, she wants to chop heads as much as possible.
Of course.
Right.
Got to bring that bottom line up.
Yeah. There's Duchess, who runs quality control. If you remember, she's the one who holds the squealing pig in the original story. And she's great at what she does, but she's also very demanding, and she knows how to play the political game. So you never know what side she's on or what angle she's taking.
Okay.
There's Cheshire Cat, who likes to spread rumors but disappears whenever you need him.
I love that.
There's Beaver, who ends up being one of Alice's mentors, and Beaver is new.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Penguin, who is her assistant. Who's also new.
Okay.
And Penguin, the people that have read the book all say, I want a Penguin. Where do I sign up for Penguin? I want him. Listen, I want him too. I don't know where to find him either. But Penguin
is... You got to start a Penguin agency.
Yeah, right. But Penguin is great. And there's Caterpillar. If you remember, he's mm-hmm. the one smoking the hookah.
Yeah.
And he used to work for the company. Now he's an outside consultant. And even though he smokes his hookah, and so, you know, he's smoking some stuff there,
mm-hmm.
he has a really good view as mm-hmm. an outsider of what's mm-hmm. going on in the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes up with insights for Alice that she doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a great proponent of her, knowing that she has what it takes to run the company. She has mm-hmm. to just learn that herself.
Mm-hmm. And just a quick shout out to my friend Joaquin on the Facebook live stream. Yes, Joaquin, this is live. You're listening. You're watching live. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
And
so other characters, there's Puppy, who runs manufacturing, who is this huge puppy making a mess of everything. There is Flamingo, who's in the marketing department, who's a pretty bird, but not always connected with the rest of the company. There's Magpie, who heads up human resources,
mm-hmm.
who gets a lot of flack and is underappreciated and mm-hmm. feels the pressure all the time, but is never given in the right direction so that she can take the responsibility that people want her to have.
Nice.
There is, I'm trying to think of what other characters there are.
Okay, so what I'm sure that there's lots and lots, but what do you hope after someone goes through and reads the book and works on the workbook, what do you hope they're really going to get out of it in the end?
What I hope they're going to get out of it is better insights into themselves and lessons that they didn't knew. First of all, they will gain confidence in themselves and understand how they think
mm-hmm.
and what's important to them. But also they will gain better insights into how to work with others, how to communicate with others.
Okay.
and that the book, the workbook, encourages mm-hmm. them at the end mm-hmm. to write down the things that they've learned, mm. that they had to learn that they didn't know. And so they will keep referring to those lessons year after year. So it's not something that's finite that says, okay, at this moment, this is what you have to know, and then goodbye.
Right. So it's not a book you read once, put it up on the shelf and forget about it. It's something that you're going to really work with over the years and look at, you know, kind of where you started and where you're going.
Right. And you could learn different things from it if you do the workbook a few years from now that might be, you know, completely different than what you're learning now. And there are things that you may forget mm-hmm. that you may have to go back to and relearn.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So now the book is out in digital version already.
Yes. The Kindle version is out, and you can get it on Amazon.
On Amazon. Wonderful. So you just go to Amazon, look for Leadership in Wonderland.
Yes.
So what has been some of the initial feedback that you've gotten from people who've started to already kind of read it and go through it and start to use it?
Exactly what we wanted to get back. Which is, this is really fun. This is really fun. This is excellent. There is nothing like this out that understands me.
Mm. Cool.
And this is something that is going to stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I realized, you know, I didn't know how to communicate with all these different other kinds of characters.
Mm.
And this gives me better insight into listening to them first and really understanding what inspires them, what motivates them.
Right.
And then I can understand how to work with them better, and we can work together better.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's like you're really working with almost like the archetypes, right? It's like the archetypical, you know, mailroom clerk and the archetypical board member and the archetypical manager.
Yeah.
And kind of like, yeah, how do we deal with these archetypes? How do we deal with these different personalities, these different egos in a way that works together for a common goal?
Yes.
Because ultimately, if you're working at a company, you're trying to do something together, whether it's entertainment or technology or media. It's, you know, there is a guiding purpose behind it.
Yes, and that's what Alice is doing in the book. She's trying to get everybody to work together to turn the company around. And she wants everybody to get excited about that and believe in it and get inspired by her and each other and work towards a more successful Leaves in Wonderland.
So what do you think are the biggest challenges in people actually doing that in companies these days?
I think one of the key things that I'm seeing is listening.
Yeah.
And people are so caught up in their head and so caught up in the moment that they don't take that breath and listen to others and listen to where people are coming from and who people are overall that they're working with, not just their role in the company, but who they are. What are their values? What are their interests? What do they do outside of work? And to create a lot of different veins, a lot of different paths to understand each other and to work alongside each other and have commonalities.
Right. You know, it's so interesting you bring that up. It just brings to mind an author I had on the show, another author that I had on the show a couple of years ago, Judith Glaser, who wrote a wonderful, wonderful book called Conversational Intelligence.
Mm.
So, you know, everyone knows about emotional intelligence, but this is conversational intelligence, about how even the words we use, the kind of stimulus that happens in the brain from using those words, and how important it is to be more present, and how we actually listen and converse, and sort of how we can help to build trust by learning the skill of conversation that much more.
And
as, you know, the old cliche goes, right? We have two ears and one mouth, so we should be listening twice as much as we're speaking.
Right. Yes, and speaking actually developed later.
Right.
So that's why listening is so important. And also one of the key things with working with young leaders is people who are older think that young leaders, they're so enveloped in technology, they don't need to communicate. They don't want to talk. No, it's actually just the opposite. They crave it. They crave that connection. They crave that communication. They crave that community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Community is very, very big now. I get it. Okay. Believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last commercial break of the show. Time flies when we have such interesting people. But we do have one more segment, so everybody please stick around. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what comes next for Leadership in Wonderland and maybe some few tips and advice from our expert Susan Goldberg about what you can do to be more like Alice. So everybody, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show with our guest, Susan Goldberg, an expert executive recruiter specializing in young leadership. I just want to give a real big shout out to all my friends watching on the Facebook live stream, Joaquin, Laura, Nemanja, who else I had? Camille, Michelle, Gigi, Roberta, thank you all for like tuning in, GP. I've started doing the live stream about 3 months ago, I think now, and it really is so gratifying to see, some of the same names coming back week after week listening in. So Susan, Leadership in Wonderland came out in a digital version recently. Is it available in print yet?
It's not available in print yet.
Okay.
When do you expect that? Available in print at the end of this month, which is the end of September.
The end of September.
Yes.
Okay, great. And it'll be available when it comes out on Amazon and all the usual places.
All the usual places.
Wonderful, wonderful. And have you noticed how now being an author and putting this book out, has it sort of impacted your career and impacted sort of your own leadership?
It has, in that when I was writing the book with Rebecca, I thought, this is just something I feel needs to be out there.
Right, okay.
And because I think it'll help a lot of people.
Right.
And going through the usual agent and publisher process, they didn't understand this whole concept. This was so new to them that they didn't embrace it.
Right.
And then I found someone who had been in business for years, been in procurement of all things.
Okay. Yeah.
And then had a calling that she decided, I'm not so supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be a publisher.
Oh, really?
Yes. And she heard about our book and we spoke and she said, Susan, you realize you have a whole business model around this. And I said, what? She said, yeah. She said, all the workshops that people want to hear that come out of this, you got to put that together.
Yeah.
That's what Rebecca and I are doing now.
Wonderful.
We will launch our website also at the end of this month.
At the end of September.
Talking about the workshops that will come out of having fear and embracing fear, being able to talk to others, being able to work with groups, being able to understand the imposter syndrome, being able to transition into different areas.
So it's taking like all the main themes of the book and creating it into various workshops. I'm assuming you'll record all that and it'll eventually be available online.
It'll
create a whole empire around it.
Yes. But we really also want to be out there in person.
In person, yeah.
To touch.
Hey, you'll get to meet each other finally.
I know, right? Yeah, and actually, one of the workshops we're working on is actually something together, which means that we have to come together to do it.
Right.
Yeah, but I actually want to be able to go to companies, to go to organizations, and work with people so they can see me and they can ask me questions live and in person.
Right, because that's what people want, right?
Yes, they do want that. And I don't want to have that standoff technology feel all the time.
I want
to be able to like shake a hand and look into someone's eyes and see that spark.
Right, and also bring people together to really create a sense of community.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Wonderful. You got to start some like meetup groups in the different places you do workshops so people can get together and talk about the stuff afterwards.
Good idea. Yes.
Yeah, I'm full of those things.
Yeah.
So what kind of tips or advice do you have for young professionals in leadership roles today? What would you say to them? I'm 30 something years old. I'm a chief marketing officer, chief information officer. What would you say to me?
What I would say to you is you don't have to know everything and you're not expected to know everything.
Okay.
You think that you're in a senior position and you're in a leadership position. Maybe you're in a C-level or an E-level or whatever you call it at your company.
Right.
And you're thinking everybody's going to come to you for advice, asking for your insights on things.
Right.
And you have to know everything.
Right.
So one, you don't. Nobody does. Okay, so understand that. And two, oftentimes companies don't have the resources so that you can learn, so that you can ask other advisors on certain questions that you have. My advice is to develop mentors. Find mentors. And not just one. I don't believe one works anymore.
Right. Yeah.
It used to years and years ago, but now.
Yeah, no, you need one in like each different field.
You need one in accounting. You need one in
technology.
You need one in personal finance.
One in social media.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You need to have go-to people.
Right.
You need to have a community.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, even Tony Robbins, who's like one of the all-time, you know, greatest quote-unquote coaches in the world, he tells people all the time, look, the most successful people, they don't just have one coach. They have several coaches. So you don't just have one mentor. You have several mentors for all the different aspects that you have to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, and also don't be afraid to ask questions. Key.
Yeah.
Key.
Yeah. How do you think this industry is going to transform over the next 10 years? Because change, like you said, is so constant.
Oh, goodness.
And I know that's like, I mean, I have a hard time thinking 3 years out these days, but I'm just curious. What, if you had your crystal ball, like the crystal in your lap, what would be your prediction for the future?
This is something I've never thought about, Sam.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, because I'm so, present, which is
yeah, because I'm so involved with the present that I don't know where growth and development is going to take us. I don't know. I would like to believe that it's going to take us to a better, more understanding place.
Right.
Think about the good, which you started the conversation talking about Abraham and good. I want it to be a more of a community, more understanding.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because I just got an issue. I forget whether it was Forbes or Time magazine this morning, last night, and I was reading it on coming into the office today, and I didn't even get a chance to read the full article, but one of the titles of the article is like 50 companies around the world making a difference and making money at it.
Okay, so it used to be, I just actually wrote an article on this.
Oh, you did?
I wrote an article on this for people who were thinking about working for a nonprofit. But particularly if you've had a lot of experience in for-profit, it's a very tough transition.
Yes.
And a lot of things you don't expect.
Yes.
So that's what this article actually talks about. And it was written for Nonprofit Hub. which is a hub that helps nonprofits become better and more successful and efficient and effective.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but there's so many different things that you can do now that you don't have to work for a nonprofit in order
right.
to
now
do good.
Now you have
B
Corps.
Now you have B Corps.
Benefit
now,
Corps.
Now more and more companies are going to have purposes and missions that encompass the entire organization and not just the PR department. No, it's actually going to be in
part
the marketing.
Of the mission of
yeah,
the company. So
it's going to be in the hiring. It's going to be in the finance. It's going to be in marketing. It's going to be in analysts. It's going to be wherever the department is. It's all going to be embracing some kind of purpose and mission.
So, so like one of my favorite things to do is get a juice from Juice Generation. It's one of these franchises out here. And if you look at their stuff, it all says 1% for the planet. So there's this, I don't know, is it an organization or a collective where 1% of the profits of the company go towards the ecology in some manner. And things like that are becoming much more popular now.
Sam, I swear I didn't prompt you to do this. But if you go to my website, you see that I am a company that, that gives back to an organization called Lighthouse.
Oh, Lighthouse
yes,
International. Yeah.
Exactly, which is all about sight.
Yes. I used to have a friend who she would go to Lighthouse and read books to people who were hearing, seeing, eyesight impaired, I guess you know.
Yeah, so I try to promote them as much as possible, and a small portion of everything that I receive from my clients financially goes to them.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm so sorry to say, Susan, we're running out of time. So please let people know how they can find you if they want to learn more. Where can they, what's your website? Where can they learn more about you?
Okay, so they can go to Amazon and Leadership in Wonderland to see the book.
Okay.
My website is SusanGoldbergSearch.com.
Goldberg is a nice, easier Jewish name than Leibowitz, like mine. People always spell it wrong.
Right, right. And I'm also on Twitter on at Suze Biz Coach.
Suze Biz Coach, okay.
And also LIW Alice, which is Leadership in Wonderland Alice.
Ah, okay, wonderful.
And we also have a Facebook page for Leadership in Wonderland, and I have one for Susan Goldberg Executive Search.
Okay, great.
Okay, and then we will have a website for the book soon.
Okay, great. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know what? When you guys get ready to launch your workshop series, if you get Rebecca here in New York City, maybe I'll get you both in studio then.
Ooh.
I'll put that out there as a little
that
carrot.
Challenge is ahead of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, all right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to come into studio today. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Sam. It's been great being with you.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. And to all my listeners and my Facebook live stream people, thank you all so much for tuning in and listening in and watching. Just a quick reminder for those who didn't hear my announcement at the beginning of the show, I have taken my Law of Attraction group on Meetup, which was called Applying the Law of Attraction. It is now the Conscious Business Collective. We're creating community, something we talked about during the show, around people trying to be and learning to be more conscious in their business, in their careers, in their lives. Our kickoff meeting is September 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Please go to meetup.com. Just search for Conscious Business Collective. You'll find us. Join us. Thank you all so much for tuning in, listening, joining us. Happy September, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of the Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.